Welcome. This is Cascade Church Portland's podcast. We exist to invite all people to join us as we follow Jesus together in bringing heaven to earth.
So one of the things when you're talking with a group of people, the goal in a room this diverse with people from different backgrounds and born in different decades is like you want to find something that everyone can relate to. And right now, I'm going to completely break that rule. How many of you remember Pogs? Anybody remember Pogs? So this was something that when I was in like elementary, middle school, was a really big deal. And we have pictures. I can't explain Pogs to you, even if I wanted to, but they were like these little round things. And some of them were made of like paper and they're kind of flimsy. But then you had like slammers that were like big and hefty and you'd like throw them down. I don't know how the game worked. Here's what I know. If you had like a big pill container of Pogs, like you were elementary school rich, right? You walked around with those and you're like, I got Pogs for days. And everyone's like, oh, they were jealous of your Pogs. And like if you had the big ones and the slammers, like it was a big, big deal. And you had some kids that like, they hustled for their Pogs, right? You had Pog competitions, you had to win them. And then other kids were like, forget that, I'm just buying my Pogs. And they bought like all these big, awesome Pogs. And they're like, I'm not playing with you, you're Pog poor. Like, I got nothing to gain from this. I'm holding on to my Pogs. The whole Pog thing was weird. And we see these things go from time to time. It's like this fake currency rises up in certain populations, and they really don't mean anything, but like at the same time, it means everything, right? Like we see some of this even more recently with Pokemon Go. Like it's this thing, and like what you have, it matters, but maybe it doesn't fully matter, like what you have and what it's like, but we decide and we place value on these things. Now, the reason why I wanted to talk about Pogs is because in that elementary and middle school financial Pog market, you straight up hoarded Pogs. And you didn't give anyone your Pogs. They had to be won. They had to be fought for. They had to be purchased if you wanted a Pog. And I think sometimes that mentality actually strikes us in kind of all of our lives. All of the things we have are a bit like Pogs. And we hold on to them, and it's like, look, I got mine because I did this. And if you don't have this, you should go do your thing. I figured it out in this way. You go figure it out in your life and what it looks like. But like, my Pogs aren't your Pogs. My things aren't your thing. They're mine. I got these. I own these. And the reason we want to talk about it is we've been talking about thankfulness. We've been talking about what it looks like to view our lives, and what does it look like to be thankful, appreciative. Last week, we talked about the miraculous. We talked about how sometimes like we're looking for this big show of God. Like God will stop the sun in the sky for 2 hours, and then it'll be like, okay, nice one, God. I believe you're there now. That was a good one. We're looking for some big, incredible thing for God to show up and intervene, and that will be the miraculous. We said, well, actually, what does it look like to reclaim every day and every moment as miraculous? Because if we're being honest, the whole thing is a miracle. Just because we understand and we can talk about it doesn't mean it's less miraculous. Like, how are you here right now? Well, it's easy. I just intake the Earth's atmosphere. My body processes it as oxygen, and then, you know, I kick out the other stuff. It's not a miracle, it's just breathing. Really? That's pretty miraculous. It's pretty amazing. You have a muscle in your body that started working the day you were born and won't stop until the day you die. What? That's insane. That's insane. Your heart is pumping and working right now. Like, that's not a miracle, we all have one. Oh, okay. It's miraculous. Standing, walking, talking, running, all these things, being in this building right now. We're like, yeah, that's just normal. Just because you do it often doesn't mean it's not miraculous. And what does it look like to reclaim that? And so it's this first part on reinterpreting our world as a place that we can be thankful for. Now, this is important. I'm going to hit it again. being thankful doesn't mean that we ignore the hard things. Being thankful doesn't mean that we don't have places in our lives where we mourn deficits, where we mourn losses. I am incredibly thankful that I have my two boys and that they are alive and they are healthy. And I can mourn the loss of my grandparents. None of my grandparents are still alive. I don't have to choose. I don't have to pick one or the other. And what Janet talked about when she kicked off this message, which was so great, is that if we're thankful, but we don't acknowledge the places where we mourn or where there's deficit or loss, we can call that denial. Just choosing to focus on all the good stuff. And if we become obsessed with the places where we lack or we have deficit or we have loss and we don't acknowledge the place where we're thankful, well, that's despair. And to say it's both, right? So we interpret this moment as miraculous, incredible. I am thankful that my heart is beating. That's a miracle. And I am sad in just traveling from Tanzania that there are people that are dying from easy preventable diseases. It's as simple as a $5 medication that they don't have access to and they will lose their lives. That breaks my heart. That's tragic. But that doesn't mean that we can't also be thankful. Are you with me? Okay, so we're heading into a holiday called Thanksgiving. That's actually two words. I don't know if you put that together. Thanks and giving. And the reason why we talk about it is thankfulness, being aware of it, is the first step. But the second part is giving. It's not called thanks hoarding, right? It's not called, I'm really thankful for all my pogs, give me more pogs. It's not, I'm really thankful for all the stuff I have, I want more stuff. There's actually this way, and the reason why we talk about this, and we talk about it in church, is we believe this is the way that God has created you and created me to be. It's a proper relationship with the things of life, with the stuff of life. And the proper relationship is, I am thankful for these things, and therefore, I will be generous with the stuff that I have. Because it's all a blessing. Why are, and I know this is like real, okay? So let's not get too bummed out about this, but let's also observe it, right? We're gonna go there together. Why are you sitting here this morning in a church with newly padded cushions in a climate-controlled room instead of living out in the wilderness in Africa dying of a preventable disease? Did you set that up? Did you arrange that? Like in the womb, you're like, hey, mom and dad, move to America. It's way better there. They have great infrastructure that really helps and supports us. See, there's these things that are completely out of our control that we have been born into, and there's a proper relationship with that where we say, this is miraculous. This is incredible. So I'm not going to walk around like I deserve it and I own it all. I'm going to have a healthy relationship with the blessings in my life to be able to be generous, to be able to give, to be able to be a conduit through which all of the world knows the blessing and grace of God. Are you with me? This isn't a new idea. This book, the Bible, have you heard of it? It starts with that idea and it ends with that idea. You, me, blessed to be a blessing. The calling of Abraham, the one and the beginning, the father of the Israelite nation, God says, you are blessed to be a blessing. The whole world will know how good God is through the blessings you receive. This is our call too, and we say, thank you for using me. Thank you for choosing me with which to be a conduit where all the world is blessed. It's this flow that's supposed to happen. We are not dams, we are flows, right? I don't know if that works, but I'll come back to that later. All right, we're gonna look at a story in the Bible. I would encourage you, if you brought your Bible with you, turn to the Gospel of Luke. It goes in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, if you have it on your mobile device or a Bible. If you don't, that is okay. We actually have the words in the section we're looking at on the screen. So we're going to be looking at Luke 12, 15 through 20. So this is a story that Jesus told. Jesus was a master storyteller because he knew that these stories, his way of telling, helps you access concepts that are too big and too difficult to get any other way. So Jesus starts in Luke 12, 15. Then he said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. I love this first line. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. I drive a Prius now. Curb your envy. I drive a Prius now. But before that, I drove like this little Ford Focus. Do you want to know what the goal of my driving my Ford Focus was? To get wherever I was going as fast as possible. So every other car, every stoplight, every merge was like a game that I was playing that I was trying to overcome and beat the other people. If you've ever been on traffic, in traffic, and like you are in the same kind of traffic, you can start to like pick up some trends. You're like, okay, well, all the cars get in the right lane to exit off here, but then if I just shove my car right back in there before then this lane will start to go and this lane will start to slow. That was the way that I engaged all of driving. It was all a game. It was all a thing to be decoded, and everybody on the road was my competition to be bested and dominated, right? You guys can't relate. All right, awesome. Good, good, good. You realize my goal is to be a courteous driver that always uses their turn signal. You're a pastor? Then I got a Prius. Guess what? That's not the optimal car to own to just dominate the road. It's not. But the cool thing about my Prius is it has this little monitor, and on there it has a moment-by-moment telling of what my miles per gallon are. So guess what? I got a new game. The game is how can I drive in such a way that I get the best fuel economy possible. Now, sometimes I'm late, and that's not the game anymore. It's back to the fast one. But a lot of the times, it's like, how conservatively can I use gas and fuel to get this number as high as possible? And when I first got the car, I was obsessed with this game. I had, like, my phone was, like, a picture of what I ate, a picture of my kids, and then just all of that computer, like, oh, I got 49.9. That's the highest I've ever been. This is amazing. And then when I finally got 50 miles a gallon, I was so excited. I had to tell everybody. Why? I started to understand that there's a different game you could play. There's a different way that I could understand driving. It wasn't just beating everybody else and getting there as fast as possible. You could also play the miles per gallon game. This is what I love about this line of Jesus, that life consists more than just the abundance of possessions. He's resetting life. Some of you engage with life that the goal is the abundance of possessions. And why the abundance of possessions? Because it represents security. It represents not needing anyone else. It represents mastery of life, that I can have full self-sufficiency. If I have enough antique troll dolls, I can always sell them to pay for food down the road, right, when trolls become currency. Like, whatever the thing is that you own or you collect or you have is like, if I have enough of this, then I will be content. Then I will be safe. Then I will be secure. And what Jesus is saying is like, actually, there's something else going on here. And what I love about this is for thousands of years, people have been playing this game. And many people who have tracked this game to the nth degree have gotten riches and wealth beyond your and my wildest imagination. I can say $1 million. I can't fully even understand $1 million. And $1 million, even $1 million from when I was younger, right? There are people that have billions of dollars. Billions. And they are not on the cover of the Happiest People in the World magazine. The rulers of the most powerful nations that have ever existed, they didn't unlock the secret of life and like, this is it. I have complete and total security for all my life. I'm good now. And yet, without this reminder, without this reformatting of what life is and can be about, we can fall in the same traps on a different level, on a different scale. Jesus is saying, maybe there's something else going on here. He continues in the story. He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Continuing on, then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Took a dark turn at the end, right? Whew. This story, this parable that Jesus is telling, he's trying to reset our understanding of life and what it's all about. Now, if we're honest, this story is pretty brutal. Have you ever talked with someone who their life, their career, like stuff is going really, really well? Like maybe you know someone who started like their own small business. They're like, business is really good right now. I'm going to hire another employee. Like we're actually increasing the things we're doing. You say, you fool, tonight your life will be demanded of you. There's this way where you hear this story, you're like, whoa, that's common sense. It's good business practice. You've received this blessing. He's aware of the blessing he's received and isn't like, I'm just going to leave the stuff I can't store out in the field. We'll let that rot, and then we'll just kind of reset it again for next year. See, there's this way where we say, oh, God's opposed to wisdom. If you receive something, like God's against you being aware of the things you've received and being a better steward of what you've received and using it in different ways. No. That's a way of hearing the story, but in a lot of ways missing the point of the story. God is not opposed to wisdom. I think God is opposed to our illusion of control. I think what God is saying to this person, what God is saying through the story, what Jesus is trying to teach us is, this guy, I have it figured out. I have this awesome piece of land. It's really abundant. All I need to do is I'll tear down this thing, I'll build bigger, and then I'll be good for the rest of my life. I'll be set. I won't have to worry about things anymore. And it's this story, the fact that his life can be taken from him that night is we're never in control. It has nothing to do with the wisdom of making sure that you have the space to collect the incredible abundance and harvest that you have. But do you think that makes you in control now? Do you think that your possessions, that this abundance of possessions puts you in control of your life and in control of the world? No. We're never in control, right? We're all one out-of-control semi-truck away from not being in control of our life. And that's dark. It's also true. And so what does that mean? Does that mean that we go around just telling people, like, you're probably going to die sometime soon? I'm not like a super prophet. I'm not saying it's next month, but you will die. So I wouldn't, like, that savings account is super dumb. I wouldn't do that. No. But we look at the big picture and say, so I'm going to do this thing, understanding I'm not in control. I'm going to work, I'm going to engage, I'm going to see the blessing and abundance that God has, but my relationship with this thing, with my work, with the things that are produced in my life is going to be different. Because it's all kind of this big, hilarious joke. It's all kind of this big, hilarious miracle. Any amount of blessing that we receive, the fact that some of you are blessed enough to go and you have the mental or physical capabilities of going to a job that they pay you for, that's like a hilarious joke. It's amazing. It's wonderful. There's this thing of commerce that you get to be a part of. And so maybe we take ourselves a bit less seriously. Maybe we understand we're a bit less in control than we think we are. And so how do we engage with this ridiculous story and blessing is we subvert the whole thing and say, well, all these other people are trying to gain their security with an abundance of possessions. We say, nah, I'm just not going to have that relationship with my stuff. I'm going to subvert the whole thing with generosity. My thankfulness is going to be reflected in giving the thing away. And I know it's silly, and it probably doesn't work for most of you, but my picture is like everyone in the middle school is obsessed with Pogs, and they're playing Pogs and like hoarding Pogs and like in Pog fights. Like, that's my Pog. Like, I won that fair and square. And then there's this kid that walks out, and they'll be like, they're Pogs, everyone, and just throws them in the air and laughs and laughs. Like, that was $5. That was $5 worth of Pogs. It's the person that understands, like, it's all kind of a joke. It's all blessing. It's all abundance. It's all kind of hilarious. And some people figure it out and have the right kind of relationship with it, and others miss it. Others are too busy consuming it. We say it a lot, but like our eyes say it a lot, because it's true. And the film Fight Club, the things you own end up owning you. Like we get these new things thinking, oh, this is the path to freedom. Like this is the thing that's going to take care of it all. But then you have like the worry of it and the maintenance of it and the thing of it. And these things start taking up real estate in our head. And they start whispering to us like this is what it's about, is getting better things. You have a car, but you can have a better car. You have a house, but you can have a better house. You have a spare room, but you have two spare rooms. Your comfort right now, you're able to order a steak, but have you had filet mignon? Like there's always another thing. And is it possible that life is about more than the abundance of possessions? Is it possible that we, and God is calling and inviting us to be the kind of people that walk out into the playground and throw the pogs up in the air? And like, I'm not owned by this stuff. Now, for some of you, you're like, cool story. Here's the thing. Like, I am barely scraping by. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. So cool story about all this abundance that I'm sure other people in this room have, but that's not me. I hear you. I know. A lot of this can be a conversation that's just about wealth, and I don't think it's about that. I actually think it's one of the greatest crimes we've perpetuated in our country against people that are struggling at the poverty line or living under the poverty line, is the only thing we value is wealth and money and resources. Here's what I think is part of the real story here in Jesus. Maybe it's not money, but I think we have that rich field that has abundant things in our lives. All of us have something. What's your abundant field? Maybe you have time. Maybe you have compassion. Maybe for you it's hospitality. Maybe you have the gift of relationship. Maybe you have the ability to, unlike me, just listen to a person and not interject and be like, oh yeah, me too, that's a funny thing. I had like this whole thing. Then you hijack the conversation. That is an abundant field. That's an incredible gift and resource that the world is desperate for. There's this way where we look over a crowd of people and we're like, all right, so everyone that has, like you're in this tax bracket, you're over here, you have a lot and you don't. So we pity you, we serve you, and you guys are all awesome. And it's just not true. I don't think God got confused when he's like, no, 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 I want to bless all the world through you, and he just forgot to send you the check. No, God gifted you with an abundance. It's not if you have the gift of abundance, it's where is your gift of abundance? What do you have that needs to be shared with all the world? What is the thing that you have that we say, I'm not in control of this anyway, and this is my pog to throw out on the playground? This is my thing to just share and be generous with. And here's what's necessary to discover it. Some of you need to get a little less humble. Some of you need to get a little less bashful. Some of you need to be like, ah, no, I'm not really good at that. No, stop that. God created and gifted you with amazing things that are miraculous to you, that are hard, difficult work for other people. You're like, oh, no, I don't think I'm good at anything, is actively robbing the world of a gift that God gave you. If you struggle with like, I just don't want to be prideful, I don't think it's me, here's the thing. It's not about you. It's not about you. Did you do it? Were you super awesome in this thing that you were born with that's like easy for you and difficult for other people? Some of you can like look at a plan that someone has and you're like, well, these are the steps you need to take to get that plan. I would sit there with my mouth on the floor and be like, how did you do that? Are you related to David Blaine? That's a magic trick. I just have ideas, but like no idea how to do them. Like, it's not that big of a deal. To you, not that big of a deal. There are things you do with ease that are like painful death sentences to other people. So you walking around being like, I don't really have any, you're robbing the world. Stop that. It's not about you. It's about the people around you. It's about the God that gifted and gave you incredible skills and gifts. And how do we unlock that potential in ours and to say, I'm not just going to build a bigger barn with my patience. I'm not just going to build a bigger barn with my ability to listen or engage with people or love with people or show hospitality. No, I'm going to go out and give it to the world. I'm going to go subvert the whole system that's like, it's just about money. It's just about possessions. It's just all about the abundance of possessions and how much you can get and go, nah, it's not. Bigger than that. This story's bigger. God's bigger than that. And we walk out giggling every day because like everyone's playing this game that's the wrong game. It's not what life's about. And when you see it, oh, it changes everything. Changes everything. The last thing is, if you have this awareness of there's this thing that I have that I can give and serve the world, we get a little less humble, we get a little more aware of how God has gifted you, and we start sharing it with the people in our lives. The awareness of the thing you have and the desire to share it with other people, it's not enough. Some of you like read a study or someone shared an article on Facebook and you clicked on it and you're like, 8 hours of sleep a night is really, really important. You wouldn't respond to that knowledge with, I don't know if you knew this, but like 8 hours of sleep a night, really, really important. So I drink 4 cups of coffee at 10 p.m. every night, and I just see what happens. No, you would actually need to structure your life in such a way that you could actually find that 8 hours of sleep within your actual schedule, your life. If you're like, I read this thing, it's called exercise? I hadn't heard about it before. It seems like it's important to like the health of your heart and your body and your ability to wake, and that's a whole thing. So, I don't know, I'm just going to see what happens. Might exercise today. I don't know. Might be late for the bus, get a little jogging. We'll see what happens. We don't say, like, it's really important for me to spend time with my kids. So, I don't know, I hope I run into them at some point today. Well, we stay in the same house. It's probably, I'll run into them at some point. If we're aware of something that we have that's important to us, it actually has to be reflected in our lives. So if you're hearing this today and saying, the game's different. It's not thanks hoarding, it's thanksgiving. There's this gratitude that leads to generosity. There's this thing I have. There's this rich field of abundance in my life that I am called to be generous with and share others with. Awesome. Then how do you build in a discipline of generosity? Tell me the time, tell me the space where you're using that gift, where you're sharing it with others. Maybe it's volunteering with a local organization that gets your motor running, you're excited about it. And like there's incredible organization, you don't even have to go there, you can do it from home. Maybe it's serving, maybe it's mentoring, maybe it's helping make phone calls, or I don't even know what it is. But you have to build in to like, this is the time in my schedule where I'm going to be generous. Otherwise, we just have this concept that there's a different game, but we keep on playing the one that we've always known. We're like, life's about more than possessions, but my life is kind of geared around gaining more possessions. We actually have to do something with it. We actually have to share this gift that God's given us and like plan for it, schedule it, be intentional about it. Because sadly, this story and the story of humanity for thousands of years is it doesn't just happen. The gospel, this thing that we're talking about, the Bible, it's an act of intentional subversion. We don't change the world just by happenstance. We don't step into the world and like are a testament to life about more than just this because, we think good thoughts from time to time or I show up to church on Sunday. Like it's an intentional action to like, this is where I'm subverting the whole thing. This is where I'm like, it's not about that, it's about this. This is where I give my generosity. And so we want to close this morning of a time with you and God. Or maybe you and the elbow of the person next to you, right? Where someone's speaking into your life and like, this is the thing I see in you. You're awesome at this. Maybe there's a way that you could use this thing to bless the world. Maybe there's this way that you could share this resource with others. Let's talk about it. And I think it's two parts. I think it's hearing from God. Where is God calling you? Where is God confirming the gift and the goodness that he's planted in you? One, and two, where are the people in your life that are encouraging you like, there. That's where you should go. That's what it should be. That's what it should look like. Would you pray with me? Oh, God. God, I want to repent of a life that looks like it's geared towards the hoarding of abundance of possessions, of claiming all time as my time, of claiming all things as my things. God, I pray that you would break that unhealthy relationship, God, in my life. And God, I pray that you would break that unhealthy relationship with things and resources in all of our lives. God, I pray that we would engage our lives and our days with a sense of humor. God, I pray that we would be a part of this active discipline of subversion, where instead of hoarding and holding on to, God, we play a different game, where we share, where we demonstrate our gratitude for the gifts that we have been given by sharing them with others. God, may we be a people of thanksgiving. May we be the people that turn our gratitude into generosity. And God, may we celebrate that that's the way it was set up to be, that this is how the world knows who you are and how good you are, is when your people are out there sharing it, are out there giving out of the blessings that you poured out into us. God, I thank you that you invite us to a bigger story. I thank you invite us to a better story. May our hearts, our minds, our hands, and our feet be a reflection of your bigger and better story. That there's something more to this world than bigger barns. There's something more to this life than the abundance of possessions. It's about the abundance of blessing, God, that you pour out to us and we get to pour into all the world. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So would you stand as we head into this Thanksgiving week? May you go this week and be an incredible blessing to all the people in your life. May you be the one that is aware and thankful for the incredible gifts that God has given you, because there's not a person in this room that isn't a blessed and overcome with gratitude person, that isn't blessed in abundance in some area. And may you subvert the whole thing by giving and sharing and living into generosity. Amen and amen. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week.
I say, reaching for heaven.